Welcome to the What If Labs.
When you use your imagination, nothing can truly hold you back.
Well, the bandwidth is out on the Everything Disney podcast, so I thought I would come here and do a What If Labs. Welcome to episode number 13. I don't think it's going to end up that evil, but welcome. Today we're going to be taking a look at some classic extinct Disneyland park restaurant and food options. Gonna sample a little bit from each land. So let's start off in Main Street with the Carnation Ice Cream Parlor and Restaurant. Whether you're looking for a meal, dessert, or both, you'll enjoy the atmosphere and nostalgia at the Carnation Ice Cream Parlor and Restaurant. Sitting inside near the old-fashioned ice cream counter or outside under red and white umbrellas. Best of all, you'll be served by a friendly waiter or waitress. It's great to relax at a real table service restaurant during a hectic theme park visit. Choose from a variety of sandwiches, salads, soups, and natural specialities. Or how about a Mickey's Chunky Pot Pie for lunch? Ready for dessert? Try a Matterhorn Sundae or a Victorian Banana Split. Maybe you'd rather have a Big Thunder Sundae made with large scoops of Rocky Road, chocolate chip, and coffee ice cream with hot fudge, hot caramel, whipped cream, toasted almonds, and a cherry. When you get hungry in Yesterland, you might also enjoy dining in these other fine table service restaurants. Hillbills Brothers, Coffee House and Gardens, Main Street, Plaza Terrace, Main Street, open July through August only, dinner only, Sara Lee, Cafe Orleans, New Orleans Square, Tahitian Terrace, Adventureland, and Aladdin's Ole Oasis, also Adventureland. In Disneyland, the Carnation Ice Cream Parlor was a Main Street institution dating back to opening day in 1955. In 1977, the restaurant expanded to fill West Center Street with an outdoor dining area. In January 1997, the Carnation Ice Cream Parlor closed. The good news is that the outdoor area has survived as the Carnation Cafe after an extensive remodeling completed March 1997. Guests can order from a traditional breakfast menu or new lunch and dinner menus. Along with the Blue Bayou restaurant, the Carnation Cafe is one of two remaining table service restaurants in Disneyland. It's quite shocking, actually. The space occupied by the Carnation Ice Cream Parlor since 1955 is now the counter service Blue Ribbon Bakery hosted by Nestle Toll House, offering today's trendy foods as in a turn-of-the-century atmosphere. The bakery serves items such as fresh-baked cinnamon rolls, fruit-filled croissants. You Americans, you say it as croissants, but I'm going to tell you, you actually say it as croissants. That's the way you actually pronounce it. It comes from the French word, croissant. And scones. Funny story. I was offered a scone on a plane trip that I had the other day. I had no clue what it was. Just looked like a pile of bread. Sandwiches made on fresh baguettes and focaccia bread. Gourmet coffee drinks such as espresso and cappuccino. Next door, guests will find a new place to buy ice cream, the Gibson Grill Ice Cream Parlor, also hosted by Nestle, but their division Nestle Ice Cream, in the space that had once been the old Blue Ribbon Bakery and previously the Sun-Kissed Citrus House. So that is your offering for Main Street. Now, over in Tomorrowland, there's a truly classic but short-lived restaurant known as the Yat Bar. Welcome to the Yat Bar. First, let's set things straight. If you think the Yat Bar is a fancy cocktail lounge where and Sandra race skippers sip martinis after sailing back to the Newport Beach, you need to change your idea of what the Yacht Bar is. The Yacht Bar is a snack bar, the kind of place where you get tasty hamburgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, and golden brown french fries. If any part of the other guests are skippers of yachts, that's just a coincidence. The Yacht part of the name is due to the restaurant's proximity to the Tomorrowland Lagoon and exterior panels that are painted like nautical flags. You should plan on spending around $1 for a meal. For example, a chili dog is 40 cents, french fries are 25 cents, a piece of pie is 30 cents, and a cup of hot coffee is 10 cents. That ups to $1.05 now. Those were the good days. How about a fresh baked pizza for 65 cents and a milk for 15? That adds up to 80 cents. A submarine sandwich is 75 cents. A large Coca-Cola or Pepsi Cola is 25 cents. That adds up to $1 exactly. Yes, you can actually choose between Coca-Cola or Pepsi Cola. Your other soft drink choices are root beer, orange soda, or grape soda. Nothing like Sprite, which is kind of a weird, but and there's a small soft drink for 15 cents. Would you rather have a snack than a meal? How about a thick frosty shake for 40 cents or popcorn for 50 cents? After you buy your meal, you have a seat in a coral-coloured fiberglass chair. You won't need to look for a table because each chair has an attached side desk. After all, this is the space age and traditional tables are old-fashioned. Yacht Bar, which served Disneyland guests from April 1955 until September 1966, was located on the north side of the building that is now Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters, near the Matterhorn Bobsleds ride. The Yacht Bar building was originally opened as the Yacht Club in 1955, next to the short-lived Phantom Boats attraction. To make way for the Viewliner attraction in 1957, the building was moved, redecorated, and renamed. When the new Tomorrowland opened in 1967, the Yacht Bar was gone. Instead, Coca-Cola Tomorrowland Terrace, a much larger counter service restaurant, extended around the Circle Vision building from its east side to its north side. Tomorrowland Terrace was best known for the ascending and descending Tomorrowland Terrace stage. I always mess it up, I always say Terrace instead of Terrace. The former Circle Vision is now Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters. In the large counter service, the large counter service restaurant was renamed back to Tomorrowland Terrace in 2006 after being called Club Buzz for several years. You obviously don't have a choice of Coke or Pepsi anymore. Coca-Cola Company is now the exclusive provider of soft drinks such as Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, Minute Maid, Light Lemonade, Barg's Root Beer, and Fanta Orange, and also bottled water, Coca-Cola's Dasani brand, at the Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World, and Disney Cruise Line. That's corporate branding for you. I don't even really know what corporate branding is, but right, moving into Fantasyland, we have a very classic restaurant, which I'm sure many of you miss. It's the Pirate Ship Restaurant, where you can join Captain Hook for lunch. Is that... yeah, I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Are you hungry for a tuna sandwich, a tuna burger, or a hot tuna pie? Then plan to eat at the Pirate Ship Restaurant. Get your food at the counter below the desk, then head for a table in Skull Rock Cove, right behind the ship. It's funny how it can be a restaurant. The Pirate Ship Restaurant, also known as Captain Hook's Pirate Ship, and as the Chicken of the Sea Restaurant, was a Disneyland landmark from 1955 until 1982. When the new Fantasyland opened in 1983, the ship had flown away. A new version of the popular Dumbo attraction occupies the ship's former space. Now, this isn't a restaurant, but as it has quite a bit to do with the pirate ship, we're going to talk a little bit about Skull Rock. Now, after you get your hot tuna pie at the Captain Hook's Pirate Ship Restaurant, grab a seat at Skull Rock Cove, which looks like a very good place to eat. In the shadow of eerie Skull Rock, You might remember Skull Rock from Walt Disney's 1953 classic, Peter Pan. Listen to the sound of waterfalls as you enjoy your chicken of the sea cuisine. Alrighty, Skull Rock became part of Disneyland in 1960, joining another icon from Peter Pan, Captain Hook's pirate ship, which had been in Disneyland since 1955. Skull Rock and the pirate ship were both victims of the new Fantasyland project in 1982. When the new Fantasyland opened in May of 1983, guests found that the old tournament facade had been replaced by charming architecture. The old dark rides had been improved. Pinocchio's Daring Journey had been added, and rides such as the King Arthur Carousel had been moved around to eliminate Fantasyland's previously cramped layout. But Skull Rock and the pirate ship were gone. Dumbo the Flying Elephant had took over that space. Today, you can once again visit Captain Hook's pirate ship and galley, and Skull Rock, not just in Yesterland, but also in Adventureland at Disneyland Paris. Skull Rock is in an area of Adventureland called Adventure Isle, with caves, a suspension bridge, and a pirate lookout. Adventure Isle plays a similar role to Tom Sawyer Island at Disneyland, except that it's reached by bridges and not by a raft ride. The Imagineers who designed Disneyland Paris didn't simply dust off the blueprints for the original Skull Rock. The Skull Rock looks like sedimentary rock, upheaved so that the layers are at an angle, so the Skull Rock is cave. The eye cavities are at the opening to provide a view towards Fantasyland from inside the skull. If you're in Southern California and you still want to visit Skull Rock, there are four ways to do so. First, go on the Peter Pan dark ride in Fantasyland. Skull Rock is a part of the imaginative scenery that makes Peter Pan a timeless ride that can be enjoyed over and over by all ages. Then head over to the Disneyland Hotel. The Neverland Pool, which was added in 1999, features versions of Captain Hook's pirate ship and Skull Rock. They're not as big and fancy as their departed cousins in Disneyland's Fantasyland, but the old Skull Rock didn't have a hot tub or a 100-foot water slide. Next, drive out to Joshua Tree National Park, where the Skull Rocks was imagineered by nature. Take the 1.7-mile Skull Rock Nature Trail to see formation, plants, and animals of the high desert, but you won't find a shop with Peter Pan souvenirs, or hot tuna pie for that matter. Finally, buy or rent a DVD of Peter Pan, in which Peter Pan fights Captain Hook in Skull Rock. Moving now into Frontierland, we have for you Casa de Fritos. Yeah, it's Mexican. Is it? Or is it Spanish? It's probably Mexican. Ooh, munch, 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 a bunch of Fritos, corn chips. Conveniently located next to the mine train through Nature's Wonderland, Casa de Fritos is a delightful outdoor Mexican restaurant. And what could be more representative of authentic Mexican foods than Fritos corn chips? There you go, I just got the answer, it's Mexican. You only want a snack? While at Casa, visit the Frito Kid, accommodation statue and vending machine. Drop a nickel in the coin slot, and a bag of delicious Frito corn chips appear in the kid's gold mine. Now, enjoy this little bit of audio from Casa de Fritos, with a little bit of added info from Patrick Hurd of the WindowToTheMagic.com podcast.
Hey, any of you out there see the new Fritos bags? Seems Fritos have been around for 75 years now, and they've decided to put the Frito Kid back on Fritos bags in celebration of the anniversary. I realize it's more of a Fritos thing than a Disneyland thing, but the Frito Kid did spend quite a few years in the Casa de Fritos in Frontierland, so it's cool just the same seeing the character back on the bags, even if it is for just a short time.
Hey, Klondike! More Fritos! The best corn chips made!
The freshest, too. Crisp, salted, golden brown Fritos. Good anytime.
You know what occurred to me while I was munching on my Fritos the other day? There are a ton of spokes characters from various products that have vanished without a trace. Take, for instance, Hostess Snacks. Sure, Twinkie the Kid is still around. But what about the Ding Dong King?
Imagine getting into a chocolate-flavored boat and sailing around a fudgy moat to a chocolate-flavored castle.
This must be King Ding Dong's castle. Look at all those ding dongs.
Have one.
Thanks, King Ding Dong.
When you eat a Hostess Ding Dong, there's a whole world of chocolate flavor in each and every bite.
Cream filling, too.
Delicious Hostess Ding Dongs. You'll find a chocolate-flavored world in every bite.
Or the Apple Pie Magician.
Come and get 'em! Fruit Pie the Magician here at the Franklin School. What do kids like best about Hostess Fruit Pies?
I like the crust best. It holds the inside thin. I like fruit. That tomato's got a lot of fruit in there. I like cherry best. And apple. And
that says it all. Hostess Fruit Pies, Twinkies, Cakes, and Cupcakes. Fresh snacks with a snack in the middle.
And let's not forget about Captain Cupcake.
Twinkie, we've got to get these Hostess cakes to the celebration on time. The road ahead's dangerous.
Captain Cupcake, can you help?
You go by land, I'll go by sea. We'll get Hostess there one way or another.
Yahoo!
Watch out, landslide!
Stormy, hey, mate.
We both made it!
Twinkies!
Chocolatey Hostess Cupcakes!
You get a big delight in every bite of Hostess Cupcakes
and Twinkies!
And what about McDonald's? You're no doubt thinking McDonald's still has its characters. Fair enough, and you'd be right. But think about those characters for just a minute. I'm sure most of you have a picture of Ronald, Grimace, and the Hamburglar in your heads right now. Well, how many of you remember Captain Crook? The Professor, Mayor McCheese, the Big Mac Sheriff, and a handful of other characters that have been missing in action for years now. Not really sure why these companies started doing away with their spokes characters, but it's a shame just the same. Perhaps these companies will take their cue from Fritos and at the least bring these characters back for an anniversary or two. Oh well. Happy 75th birthday, Fritos.
Someone else knows what's good. Another bag of Fritos, Klondike.
Okay, coming right up. One bag of crisp salted Fritos.
Thanks again to Patrick of Window to the Magic for that. And I hope you enjoy the insight into some other of the Casa de Frito, Fritos stuff. But back to Disneyland. Now, at Disneyland, the space previously occupied by Casa de Fritos was substantially remodeled and improved to become Casa Mexicana, a Mexican restaurant initially hosted by Lori's Foods. In 2000, Casa Mexicana closed. The current restaurant in this location is Rancho del Zocalo Restaurante, featuring traditional Mexican food and Western barbecue fare under the same roof. It's conveniently located next to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. On October 10th, 2002, the Walt Disney Company and Frito-Lay announced a new multi-year agreement by which Frito-Lay snack products will be featured at Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort. The relationship includes sponsorship, promotional, and commerce opportunities. This is coming from Werner Weiss of Yesterland. My immediate thought was that under this agreement, they could rename the Rancho del Zocalo back to Casa de Fritos. That didn't happen. Rancho del Zocalo is actually hosted by Ortega, a subsidiary of B&G Foods Incorporated. Now, I just noticed something. I'm sounding a lot better in this episode. Alright, we've got one final restaurant that we're going to talk about today. We have to take you into Adventureland to talk about the Tahitian Terrace. Aloha! Welcome to the islands of Tahiti, Samoa, and Hawaii. You're seated beneath an exotic 35-foot tall tree with 4,075 artificial leaves and colourful fox flowers that will always bloom. Open your menu for a selection of dishes inspired by the South Pacific. Many people consider this the best food in the park. With your dinner, be sure to order a planter's punch Tahitian in a tall cylindrical glass. There's no rum in the punch, just a delicious blend of tropical fruit juices. The dinner was great. Now on with the show. The waterfall curtain parts. The band fills the warm evening air with island rhythms, with graceful hip and hand movements, the dancers give you a tour of Polynesia. To add to the authenticity, the dancers emerge from backstage wearing sarongs, grass skirts, or other traditional garments, as appropriate for each island. The light dims for the daring barefoot firewalk and the thrilling fire knife dance. Flames leap from water. Wow! On the Tahitian Terrace opened in 1962 in the Adventureland section of Disneyland. For over 30 years, Disneyland guests enjoyed food and entertainment inspired by the islands of Polynesia. The restaurant and show operated during the summer and on busier weekends. There was always a line to get in. In 1993, Aladdin's Oasis replaced the Tahitian Terrace. It must have seemed like a good business decision at the time, but Aladdin's dinner show only lasted two seasons. The former Tahitian Terrace facility is no longer used as a dinner theatre. If you're interested, I'll give you a link to the Tahitian Terrace lunch menu. Now, quickly before we go, as it's an easy thing to do, I'll talk a bit about the replacement, Aladdin's Oasis dinner show. Kazim, the proprietor and master of ceremonies, welcomes you to his establishment. The fun is about to begin when Aladdin attempts to escape from Jafar by ducking into Kazim's place. On a warm summer night, sit below the massive limbs of a magnificent, though artificial, tree in this full-service outdoor restaurant. Enjoy a delicious meal of exotic delicacies, including papadum wafers. Well, I'm going to have one of those in a minute. With mint chutney sauce, fresh fruit with honey yogurt sauce, shish kebabs, beef, chicken or vegetarian, rasin nut rice pilaf, talubaba. You don't know what that means. And dessert. As you enjoy your multi-course meal, you're entertained with music, magic, dancing, special effects, and comedy by Aladdin, Princess Jasmine, Jafar, Iago, a belly-dancing harem goop, and of course, the fabulous genie of the lamp. You might even become part of the show. The genie has big plans for your dessert. It's not just the final course. It's also a musical and theatrical production. Rub the brass lamp on your table and make a wish. There's a puff of smoke from your lamp, and the genie brings you a chocolate Aladdin's lamp filled with chocolate mousse and berry topping, while other genies serve other tables. What showmanship in Kazim's establishment, yeah? Aladdin's Oasis opened in Disneyland's Adventureland in 1993, replacing the beloved Tahitian Terrace. During two summers and on selected weekend days during other seasons, guests enjoyed the Aladdin's Oasis feast and show. Unfortunately, the economics didn't work out, and the show was discontinued. In 1995, Aladdin's Oasis continued to operate as a full-service restaurant on Disneyland's busier days. Tables continued to have excellent sightlines to the stage, but alas, the stage was empty. In 1996, Aladdin's Oasis generally remained closed, except for occasional private parties. In 1997, the facility became a venue for storytelling. Without any food service, Kazoo, the storyteller, tells a simplified version of the movie plot and plays most of the roles, with help from the audience. With help from Aladdin and Jasmine. There's plenty of audience interaction to keep the presentation fresh. It's now a decade later. Aladdin's Oasis is still a storytelling venue. There are no announced plans to turn the facility back into a restaurant. Okay, so that looks like that is it for the show. Now, I do have a little sneak peek for what's coming up on the next show, and I think you'll be able to know what it is straight away.
Your attention, please. The Disneyland Limited, now arriving from a trip around Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom. Passengers will stand by to board.
So until then, I'm Luke, and I'll see you on episode 14.